The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kof Aleph Amud Beis, states, my Hanukkah. What is Hanukkah? The Tanur Rabbonim, the rabbis taught. Bechofei beKislev Yumi the Hanukkah Timnayo Inun. On the 25th of Kislev, there are the 8 days of Hanukkah. The Lemisped Bahein or the Leilisanis Bahon. These are days when we cannot have a hesped, eulogies, to fast. Shikshenichnusu Yevonim Lehechel. When the Yevonim was the Greek Empire, when they went into the Hechel, and the Beis Hamikdash in Yerushalayim, there was the Azora, which is the courtyard, and then the inner chambers. The inner chambers, there was the Hechel, and then there was the most inner chamber, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Hechel was the menorah. When the Yevonim went and they invaded Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim, and they went into the Hechel, Timu Kol HaShmonim Shebehechel, they caused impurity to all of the oil in the Hechel. Ukishagovru Malchus Beis HaShmonoi Benitzchum. And when the Malchus Beis HaShmonoi, at that time the ruling family was the family of Hashmonoim, and they were Kahanim. And when their hand was strengthened, and they became victorious over the Yevonim, Botku, and they came now to cleanse the Hechel, the Beis Hamikdash, they searched for Lemotzu, Elapach, Echot, Shel Shemen. And they could find only one flask of oil, she'oyamunach b'chesomei shel kain godol, which was sealed with by the kain godol, by the great priest. And therefore, they knew that this oil was tohor. Ve'lohoya b'elalahadlik yim echod. They wanted to light the menorah of the Hechel, and there was enough oil only to light for one day. Nasu b'ynes, a miracle took place. V'idliku mimenu shmoni yomim. And this oil lasted for 8 days. Lishon acheres kevoum basoum yomim tovim b'halal v'hedo. The next year, the Sanhedrin declared that every year these days should be established for days of yom tovim, of halal and hodo, to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, adds to this. The Bayis Sheni, this took place during the second Beis Hamikdash. Kishemalchei Yovon Gozru Gzeiros al Yisrael. When the Empire of Greek made harsh decrees on Israel, botlodosum, and they annulled and didn't allow us to keep our mitzvahs. Velehinicho esom lasik betorah v'mitzvahs. Didn't allow us to study or teach Torah. Uposhtu yodah b'mainam b'mineisehem. Eventually they went and they took our money and they took our daughters. V'nichnus elehechul potzer b'pirtzus. And they went into the Hechel, to the Beis Hamikdash, and they defiled the Beis Hamikdash. V'timu ataharis, and they caused impurity to everything that was tohar, that was pure. V'tzarehem Yisrael me'od. And it was a great sorrow, very great troubles to Klal Yisrael. Mipnehem. V'lachatzum lachatz godl. And we were greatly afflicted. Atcherichem aleihem elekei aveisenu. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of our fathers, had rachamim, compassion on us. And he brought a salvation to us. V'govru b'nei hashmonoi ha-kohanim ha-gedolim, and the hashmonoim, who were from the family of the high priests, HaKadosh Baruch Hu strengthened their hands, v'horgum, and they killed the Yevonim, v'yishi Yisrael miyodom, and they saved Klal Yisrael from their hands, v'hamidu melech min ha-kohanim, and they appointed a king from the kohanim, v'chozru malchus li-Yisrael yesra mosaim shonim. And the Malchus, independence, returned to Israel for more than 200 years, Ad HaChurban HaSheni, until finally the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the Romans. And then he brings what the particular miracle was, like the Gemara tells us. We can ask on this the following four questions. First of all, why do we find that the Nitzocha in this victory came specifically through Bnei Aaron HaKohanim, through the Kohanim, the Hashmonoim? It's unlike generally other miracles. Second question, why do we find that the miracle was particularly Dafke through fire, through light? Shem and Ve'or, the oil and the light, and the Neres HaMenorah Shebeheichel, the candles, the oil candles of the menorah, of the great menorah that was in the Heichel. Thirdly, the Gemara tells us that the miracle took place with a flask of oil which was sealed by the Kohen Gadol. Why was it particular that the flask of oil which the miracle took place was sealed by the Kohen Gadol, the high priest? I mean, as far as kashrus, as far as tahara, it would be sufficient if it was sealed by any Kohen. Why specifically the Kohen Gadol? And thirdly, and fourthly, what is the significance that the miracle extended itself for 8 days? It was enough for one day, lasted for eight. Why Dafke eight? Incidentally, because it lasted for 8 days, the Gemara brings that the actual mitzvah of Hanukkah is to light one candle every day, only one candle each day. And the Balabais, the head of the household, lights one candle for the whole household every day. First day one candle, the second day one candle, and third day and so on. Then the Gemara brings the Mahadrin, then it brings the Mahadrin min Mahadrin. And those who want to beautify the mitzvah even more, and the Mahadrin min Mahadrin, they light additional candles every day. First night one candle, second night two candles, until we have eight candles. Comes out that the menorah shel Hanukkah, those who fulfill the mitzvah of the Mahadrin, is a menorah that can have eight candles in it. The miracle was because of the miracle of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. The menorah of the Beis HaMikdash only had seven branches, could only hold seven candles, not eight. So we're asking now, why did the miracle extend for 8 days? And through extending for 8 days, the menorah shel Hanukkah becomes even more than the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. These are the four questions we're asking. Why was the victory dafke through Kohanim, Hashmonoim? Why was the miracle dafke through oil and light, fire? Why did the miracle take place in the flask of oil which was sealed dafke by the Kohen Gadol? Would have been sufficient if any Kohen had put his seal on it. And why did the miracle extend itself for 8 days? A major principle which our sages teach us is that from the beginning of creation until Ketz HaYomim, until the end of days, there always was and there always will be a very great war, a constant war, between Tevara, good and evil, Tohar v'tome, between that which is, represents purity and that which is impure, Emes v'sheker, and between truth and falsehood. From the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Abraham v'Zaroi, Abraham and his seed, and he gave to his seed the Torah, and they represented the Malchus Hashem, the empire of Hashem in the world, and they fulfilled his Ritzenai, his will, which is his Torah. From that time on, then Yisrael represented what was Tov, what was good in the world, and what was pure in the world, and what was truth in the world. Therefore, this war, in particular, would be against Yisrael. And the main forces of evil that will stand up to destroy that what is good and true in the world are four, our sages tell us. And they are the four great empires, Arba Malchus, that will rise up through history, that will want to spread their forces through the entire world, and to conquer the world, and in particular to destroy, to eradicate or conquer Yisrael, and for what they stand for, the Kedusha, the sanctity, and their Torah. And these four empires, right at the beginning of the creation of the world, the Torah alludes to it. The second pasuk of the Sefer Torah, after it states, "Bereishis bara Elokim es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. The second pasuk says, "Va'aretz ha'is ha'sol v'avol," that the land was sohu. Sohu means empty. Vavohu. Vavohu means mixed and confused. Choshech, darkness. Alpenei Sohom, which covered endless depths. So the sages say, four expressions are used here right at the beginning of creation. Each one is an expression which is contrary to Bereishis Bara, to creation. Emptiness, confusion, darkness, and endless depths. Then it states, "V'ruach Elokim merachefes al pnei amoyim," the spirit of Hashem hovered over the water. The Medrash tells us, Medrash Rabbah, on this posuk, Parsha Beis, Osei, Reb Shimon ben Lokish posakroi b'malchus. Reb Shimon ben Lokish says that these four expressions are referring to the four empires that would rise up during the course of world history and to destroy creation, destroy what is good, Yisrael, the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'od etzo yisra sohu, that the world was that the earth was empty, Zumalchus Bovel. This refers to the first Malchus, the Babylonians. As it states, Rishya Soretz Vinei Sohu, Vohu, and that there was confusion, Zumalchus Modai. This refers to the second empire. Incidentally, Bovel is the first empire. They destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. They conquered Eretz Yisrael, Yushalayim, and burnt the Beis HaMikdash. And the first Golus of Yisrael was Babel. second one is Modai. That's Modai Uparas, the Persian Median Empire. Shnema Vayavilul Ovies Homon. This was during the time of Purim Achashverosh. During the Golus Babel, they went and they contemplated Lahashmid Lahare Gula Abed, to eradicate every Jew in the world. Cheshech Zumal Choshovon. Darkness is refers to the Greek Empire. Shehech Shicho Einein Shi Yisrael B'Gzeiraseihem. Why darkness? Because they darkened the eyes of Israel with their evil decrees. Sheisom Eres Lahem, they would say to them, Kisfa Laker and Ashor Shein Lochem Chelek Belakei Yisrael. Go right on the horn of the bull, that you have no portion with the God of Israel. Alpenei Sohom, the endless depths, Zumalchus Rosho, this refers to the fourth Malchus. Fourth Malchus, that's Edom. Edom is Esav, and from Esav came Rome, and also Amalek. Why is he called depth? Shein lo cheker kemei hatohom ahatom azein lo cheker afer ashoim kein, because their evil is endless. Just like this depth is endless, their evil and destructive powers will be endless. Ruach elakim merachefes al penei merachefes. What does it mean? The spirit of Hashem hovers. Zu ruchei shel melech ha-moshiach. This is the melech ha-moshiach, the seed of Yosef and the seed of David, which will come finally to destroy the empires. As it states, V'nochol olov ruach Hashem. What does it mean? Merachefes al penei hamoyim, hovers over the water. Be'ez ishchus memameshes uvoa merachefes al penei hamoyim b'shus hatshuva. When will they come? They will come when the world does tshuva. Shenim shel kemayim, shenem ashivke kemayim libeich. Tshuva is compared to water. Therefore, when the world does tshuva, they will come to destroy these empires, or the final empire at least. This is what the Medrash tells us. Daniel, the prophet, had visions of these four empires. He saw them bechalem halaylo, in a dream at night, and each one he saw in the form of a chayoro gedola, of a great evil beast, and that was Meshuna, that was not the ordinary type of wild animal, but very different. And Zu Shanyu Mizu, and each one he saw different from the other one. Only Min Hayam, and each one he saw come out of the sea. What did this teach us? It taught us that firstly, that their powers are very, very great, like powers of a wild beast. Secondly, it taught us that just like a wild beast is destructive and can destroy man, they also will destroy. And thirdly, Olim min hayam, coming out of the sea, she'enu min hayishuv. These empires are not civilized, contrary to popular belief and contrary to history. These empires are not civilized, and that's why they live in the sea. There is the Yishuv and the Yam. The Yishuv is where people live. The Yam, the sea, that's not for population. And they came out of the sea as a symbol that they come from a place of wildness, and to destroy civilization, to destroy that what is good and pure and true. Now the Maral in Prague goes further. He says, from the fact that there was Shan Yuzu Mizu, that each one was different than the other one, this is to teach us that each one had a particular personality, a particular character, a particular force that the other one did not. And he compares this to the man himself. The man has three particular forces in him. He has the goof, his physical body. He has the lave, the heart, which in the heart is the nefesh. That's the life. Physical life comes from the heart, and all emotions come from the heart. And then man has the seichel, the intellect. And the same with the three first empires. Each one had a keach miyuchid, a particular power. The first empire, Daniel saw in a form of a beast. What kind of beast? An aryeh, a lion. And it had, and this lion had a golden head, a head made of gold. And Gatfin shel Nesher Islo, and he saw it had wings, two wings like an eagle. Ulevav enash yaleh. And it had a heart like a human being. This, the first empire, was Bovel. Bovel represented the heart of the person. As it states, he had a heart like a human being. The heart is the nefesh. This is the source of the physical life in man. And the nefesh is called the melech. It's called the king, because this is the strongest force of man. It's the motivator of man. That force that comes from the heart drives man more than any other force, because the body, the physical body, is not that much of a motivator. It comes from the Ofer Adama. It's created from the earth and it's like the earth. And the seichel, the intellect, which is the supreme power of man, but that's somewhat above man. It's far from him. This is why the king, a king is always referred to as Libay Shala'am, the lave, the heart of the nation, because he leads the nation and he motivates them. So this is the same thing with the heart and the nefesh of the person. And Babel was like this because it was their nature to be a king. They wanted to rule. They wanted that hashivus, that nobility to rule. And it states, Hamelech Bereshena, the king always goes first. We find by Yehuda, he went first. Therefore, Daniel saw Bovel in the image of a lion. The lion also wants to rule. He's the Melech Shel Kol HaChayos. He, in no questionable ways, he lets all of the animals know that he wants to rule. And he saw him with a golden head, because gold represents nobility, aristocracy. Gold is for a king. And he saw him with wings, two wings of an eagle. What does the eagle represent? There is nothing that flies higher than the eagle. Height. This is a king. The eagle also is a king. And when Daniel saw him, he heard them say to him, "Ant hu reisha d'daba. You're the head." And in the Torah it states, "Reishis mamlach de Bovel," the first empire,
was Babel. Therefore, they were the first ones to stand up to try to take over the world, the first ones to march into Eretz Yisrael and to try to destroy Klal Yisrael, and they burned the Beis HaMikdash. This was Babel. The second, Chaya, wild beast he saw, which represented Modai Uparas, the Median Persian Empire. He saw them with Suras Dov. It was like a bear. And with silver. And he heard them say, Kumi Achle Bosesagi, let us go and devour much meat. Modai Uparas, in particular, they were parallel to the Guf Shel Adam, the physical body of man. The physical body of man always wants that which is physical. The body always seeks that which is Gashmi, is physical, and that which is material, because the body comes from the earth. And in the physical level, there is no Shlemus. There is no perfection. Therefore, the body, when it seeks its physical to satisfy its physical desires, is never satisfied. Mora tells us, Ayiv kesev, lo yisba kesev. If you love wealth, you will never be satisfied with wealth. Yesh leimono, writes a Mosai, you'll have 100, you'll want 200. You'll have 200, you'll want 400. You'll have 1,000,000, you'll want 1,000,000,000. It's endless. Because there is no end and perfection to the level, to the physical and material level. And we find by the bear that amongst the wild animals, he is the most physical. He's always eating. He's always drinking. He sleeps long periods of the year. Sleep has to do with the goof, with the physical body. Because the goof comes from the earth, and the earth is daimim. The earth doesn't move. It's silent. And when a person sleeps, the powers of the intellect and the powers of the emotions go into low gear. And we find also, the Gemara tells us, that the dov ein lemanucha. A bear, even though he likes to sleep, but when he's up, he's restless. He's never settled. If you ever watch a bear in a cage, he's always walking back and forth and back and forth. That's the nature of the bear. He's nervous. And the reason for this is because there is no menucha, there is no total rest for the physical level, since rest only comes from a completion, a satisfaction. And there is no satisfaction. And this was Modai Uparas, the Gemara tells us, the Median Persian Empire. They were very, very physical and materialistic. And they loved to eat. And they loved to have great feasts, like we saw Ahasuerus was making feasts for months. And they loved to drink. It's brought that they used to say, who could, they took praise, who could drink a barrel of wine. And the Gemara tells us they even looked like bears. They were very stocky. And they were very hairy. And ein la menucha, always restless. And therefore, when they wanted to conquer the world and take over, they were prepared to destroy Klal Yisrael, to swallow them up, like a bear would swallow someone up. Lahashmid, lahareg, lahabed, es kol ha-yehudim, taf enoshim, nar va-zokeh, to destroy eradicate every single Jew. This was through the Eitzah of Haman, who was Amalek, but Achashverosh was prepared to do this. And it's interesting that when Haman came to propose the idea to him, he made the idea a little sweeter, because he knew Achashverosh. He said that if you'll allow me to do this, I will bring to your treasury Aseres Alfe Alofim Kikar Kesef, 10,000 bricks of silver, because he knew Achashverosh. There's a difference between silver and gold. Gold represents chashivas, represents nobility, aristocracy. Silver represents material wealth. The world deals in silver. And this was Achashverosh Modai Oparas. Then there was the third empire. The third empire was Yovan, the Greek empire. Daniel saw him in the image of a nomer, it states. A nomer is a leopard. And with copper. And four wings. Four wings is strange, because generally a bird has two wings. Like when he saw Babel, he saw him with two wings of eagles. Four wings. What did this represent? Yovan represented the seichel of Adam, the intellect of man. The intellect of man, which is his supreme gift and supreme power, is totally contrary to the physical force of man or to the emotional force of man. Totally contrary. Why? Because physical man always is drawn to satisfy or attempt to satisfy physical needs of the body and the physical desires of the body. He's drawn to eat, he's drawn to drink, he's drawn to sleep, whatever it might be. The emotional man, from the lave, he's constantly drawn after his emotions. Through his love, through his hate, through his revenge, through his envy, and so forth. And the physical man and the emotional man do not make a distinction between good and evil, between that what is straight or that what is crooked, between that what is taught and that what is tome. The body wants to eat, the body doesn't care what it eats, whether it's good for the body or not. Hender envy, the heart doesn't care what it envies, and it drives a man. The seichel is just the opposite. The seichel, the intellect, looks for what's straight, what's upright. Because if it's crooked, then it's contrary to the great intellectual powers that were given to man. And the seichel frees itself from influences, from external influences that will blind it. Once external influences blinds the seichel, the intellect is bottled, the intellect is no longer the intellect. The intellectual man, in essence, is the pursuit of truth, the pursuit of good, the pursuit of what's straight and upright. This is intellectual man. So he's totally contrary to the physical and emotional man. And this is what we would call total objectivity. When it comes to intellect, you want logic, you want rationale,
You want objectivity. While physical man and emotional man are totally subjective. They're not interested in anything else. The body is interested in satisfying the desire of the body. The emotions are interested in satisfying the drives of the emotions. There is no objectivity. If the intellect becomes subjective, then it's brutal. Then it's no longer rational. It's no longer the intellect. So the seichel is totally contrary to the physical and emotional man. That's why we have so many constant battles between our physical desires and emotional desires and between the intellect. This midah, this quality, the Chazal call azus. Azus means courage, brazenness, and aggressiveness. When it comes to the pursuit of intellect, of the intellect, then one must have courage like no other pursuit. He has to look for the truth no matter what might be the personal consequences. Even if the truth totally works against his desires, against his needs. If he's a bar chochem, if he's seeking wisdom, then there is only one truth. And if he fashions the truth to meet his needs, to meet his desires, there is not much of a chochem. Then no longer is that chochmah. But that's totally merely becoming a puppet for the demands of the body or the demands of the emotions. And therefore, it is called azus. Azus means a brazenness, a courage, a single-mindedness. And that's why we have, for example, in the Torah, when it comes to the seeking of wisdom, for example, Dayonim, judges, the judges had to, says they were like a cherub, a sword. They had to be pesek es adin, they had to render, they had to decide the law like a cutting sword. Let the sword fall where it may. And it states in the Torah, lo yagurim ibnei ish, that the judges shall not fear any man, because if he will, then that's not din, that's not wisdom. Midvar sheker tirchok, he must distance himself from any falsehood. Ki hasheched ya'aver eine pikchim, he must never accept gifts, because gifts destroy wisdom. You look at the world today runs on gifts. Gifts is contrary to wisdom. Because by accepting gifts, he's already subjective. And anything that's subjective is not wisdom. Ein merachmin bedin. The judges were commanded, instructed, not even to have compassion when it comes to judging. Because compassion is contrary to wisdom, to the ultimate truth. Because chokhmah is the ultimate yosher, what is perfectly straight and upright without leaning to the right or to the left, or without ever falling under any external influences. Now this midah, this quality, the Chazal tell us, is found in an animal. And this is found in the Nomer, in the leopard. Like it states in Mishnah, and Oves havi az kenomer, you shall be courageous like the leopard. It states there's no animal which is so brazen and so courageous like the leopard. And we are instructed that we should be courageous like the leopard when it comes to seeking wisdom. All of this is opposite to the quality of boshes. Boshes is what we would refer to as shame. There's a time to have boshes, but not in the pursuit of wisdom. Because boshes means that one is intimidated. See, the boshes, the one who is bashful, the one who is ashamed, is intimidated. Intimidation is contrary to the seeking of truth, because he backs off from the truth. And that's why it states, Lehabaishin Lehmeid. He who is bashful, he who is ashamed, will never reach wisdom. The Maral says it's not because he won't ask questions. He says that the Chazal didn't have to tell us. But the only way to reach the ultimate truth is with a single-mindedness courage that you back off from no one. And that's not the Baishum. That's the opposite to Azus. And we find, because of this reason, the Torah, which is the supreme wisdom of the world, is called Esh Das Lomai. It's referred to as a fire. And a fire is one of the greatest forces in nature that's courageous. A fire stops at nothing. Generally, you throw things in the way of something, they back up. An animal, many times you can scare. You cannot scare a fire. A fire keeps charging forward and consumes everything in its way. Is not intimidated from anything. And this is why the Torah is called an Esh. Its wisdom is like a fire. And the Gemara in Beitza Daf Chofei Omed Beis tells us, why was Yisrael given the Torah? Because Shehem Azin Shebu Umas. Their nature also is that of Azus, of this courage. Now, this was the Midah, the quality of the Yevonim, of the Greeks. And therefore, Adonil saw them in the image of a nomer, of a leopard. He saw them with copper, nechoshes. States Nechoshes is the most brazen of all of the irons. Whenever the Torah wants to say someone who is very brazen, it states he has a Meitzach Nechoshes, a forehead of copper. And he saw them with four wings, because four wings represent someone or something that can fly with a great power and speed in all directions. And the intellect of man has no limitations. The body is limited. The emotions are limited. The body is limited to the physical place where it is. The emotions are limited. But man's mind can climb to all directions in the world. And therefore, he saw them with four wings. And we find also, just like a fire goes in all directions, and we find, the Gemara tells us, Alexandrus Mukdon. This was Alexander the Great. He was before the time of Hanukkah. He was from the main forces of this empire. And it states that there was no one like him that went with such a great force and speed to conquer the world in all four directions. Now, since this nation had this quality, we find that they had great respect for Torah during the time of Alexander. The Medrash tells us in Vayikra Rabba Yud Gimel Hei, Alexandrus Mukdon used to stand up for Shimon HaTzadik. Kad Hamile Shimon HaTzadik, and when he used to see him, he would say, Baruch Hashem Ele Keshel Shimon HaTzadik. Blessed is the God of Shimon HaTzadik. They had honor for Torah. They could appreciate it. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Megillah, Daf Ches Amud Beis, the Mishnah, it states, Ein bein sforim li tfilin mezuzes ela shasforim nitovim bechol loshon utfilin mezuzes ein nitovis ela shuris v'psim gamli leimer ap isforim la yitir shichtu ela yevonis. Can you write a Sefer Torah, a kosher Sefer Torah, in another language, or may it be written only the way we write it? We write it in Hebrew, and we write it with a special type of script which is called Ashurish. Reb Shim Gamliel says a Sefer Torah must be written only in Ashurish, the way we write it, with one exception. It can be written in Greek, in the Greek language. The Gemara tells us they wanted that the Sefer Torah should be written in the Greek language, and it was permitted. The sages found the source for this, and they permitted it. We'll speak about the source in a minute. The Rambam brings, in Hilchos Tefillin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yutes. Ein kaisin tefillin mezuzah lebeksav ashuris biyitiru bisforim lichtev af yevoni bilvad. Tefillin and mezuzahs, that can be only in Hebrew ashuris. Sefer Torah, also in Yevonim, also in the Greek language. But that was the old Greek language. Kvar nishka Yevonim min ha'olam. Today, the ancient Greek language has been lost. V'lishtabish, v'obad. And it's full of the Greek language that is spoken today. This is yet in the Rambam's time. It's full of errors. Therefore, lefichach in case v'nayim shleishten elashuris. So therefore, today, we must write tefillin, mezuzahs, and Sefer Torah only in ksav ashurish, the way we write. But in principle, it could have been written in the Greek language. Today, we live under the influence of the Malchus Revis, the fourth empire. That's Edom, who was Esav, and from him came the great empire of Rome, also Amalek. And this is not the place to elaborate on the character of that empire. But we just want to make mention what they were in order that we could understand more about the Yevonim, the Greek Empire. And contrary to popular opinion, our sages do not have too many praises for the Fourth Empire, for the Roman Empire, either as righteous people or as great civilized people, contrary to history. And incidentally, it is from the Roman Empire that the entire European culture has come from, and the entire Western world. And just very, very concisely, the sages tell us there was no true greatness in that empire. They were the Roshi Amashkisim. When Daniel saw the image of the Fourth Empire, he saw him as a monster which was more evil than all three put together. And he saw him made of iron, which represented Al-Harba Chotichia, the sword of Esav. And he saw him destroying. They were more destructive than all of the other empires. They pursued physical pleasures more than all of the other empires. They pursued material wealth more than all of the other empires. They were known for their deceit and their lies and falsehood more than the other empires. And the Medrash brings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you called Esav, he told Yitzchok, you called Esav Achicha HaGodol,
the big brother, the Einai, in my eyes, who are cotton by Bozui. He is the little brother, the shameful brother. And he's a gazlan, a thief. Because anything great that one might think that the Romans ever achieved, it was only because they stole it from previous empires. And we see that everything that this empire did or still does is only for itself, for its own purposes. It's interesting to note that the world never had serious ecological problems until today, under their reign. They became the great experts in propaganda, in communication, in public image and high profile. And we see that they are totally preoccupied with the commercialization and exploitation of everything, be it of wisdoms, of cultures, of arts, of sports, or whatnot. We live in an era where there is no wisdom, again contrary to public opinion. There is no wisdom. The wisdom has been lost. People will tell you, what are you talking about? The Industrial Revolution, the technical advances of high tech, going to the moon, the mathematics, the science, the medicine. Look at all the diseases we have cured. Let me make mention of a few facts of the Greek Empire, which our sages tell us were the wisdom of the nations of the world. You have many, many sciences which start with the word geo, geography, geometry, geology, numerous sciences. Geo is a Greek word which means earth. For example, graphy, geography, means graphics, means to write. Any science that starts with a geo, the Greeks invented it. The Greeks were the one who built it. And the Romans took it from them. Hippocrates, a Greek that lived about 500 years before the Common Era, 2,500 years ago, is still known as the father of Western world medicine. Cancer is a Greek word. He identified cancer in his time. He called it cancer because the word means in Greek a crab. The disease spreads out like a crab. Diet is also a Greek word. And he was the father of diet development and nutrition, which today people are starting to make a big deal about. The oath of Hippocrates is still taken by doctors today. Aristotle, also a Greek, was known as the father of science, astronomy, philosophy. He and his colleagues proved to themselves that the world is a sphere almost 2,000 years before it was accepted by Roman culture in 1500. Again, they had proved the world was round 2,000 years before Western culture accepted it. How did they prove it was round? History tells us they measured, now this was 2,500 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, no, 2,500 years ago, what kind of instruments did they have? They measured the shadows which were cast on the moon by the earth during an eclipse.
and concluded that this could be caused only if the earth was a sphere. Mathematics, this was developed by the Greeks. Trigonometry, Archimedes' principle, speak to engineers, those that have studied a bit, and they'll tell you we couldn't build a bridge without the Greek principles of mathematics and science. And they were so involved in the pursuit of wisdom, they weren't interested in making money on this. They weren't interested in selling it. They weren't interested in industrial revolutions or high-tech for sale. Archimedes was the one that he became so excited when he resolved the problem that history records that he ran out of the bathhouse naked without any clothes, screaming through the streets what he has finally resolved. Democracy is a Greek word. So much we hear about today. A Roman civilization, a democracy, the word is a Greek. Evidently, that concept was developed by them. Art, engineering, architecture. There is nothing in history that has ever compared the Greek to the Greek words. Works. An architect once told me that when the Greeks designed their buildings, they designed the pillars not to be exactly straight up and down. Because when the eye looks at it from a distance, because of the rays of light, it appears to be broken. So therefore they took that into consideration when they designed the pillars. A student of art told me that she studied this and said it's unbelievable and we cannot duplicate it today. And even their decorative the decorated designs and ornaments that they placed on these buildings also were designed in this fashion. This student told me that she studied both Greek art and Roman art. And she said the Roman art was totally a cheap imitation of the Greek art. I once saw in a documentary that they said that the Greek buildings were made of marble through and through. The Romans, they wanted to duplicate it. So it was made of plain stone with a marble facing. The Greek language, which we'll speak about in a minute, the alphabet is of Greek origin. And the original Greek was written from right to left, like Hebrew is written, and other old Semitic languages. Another example. Today, the West is very involved in sport. You go anywhere, everybody's talking about the tennis or the cricket or whatever it might be. Olympics, marathon, discus, javelin. These are all Greek words. The ones who started the Olympics were the Greeks. But by them, this was a dedication. A dedication for the perfection of the body and the art of sport. And they used to dedicate their children to this perfection. Today also we have the Olympics. The Romans have taken over the Olympics today. What is the Olympics today? It's steroids. It's billion-dollar television rights. Beer and cigarette commercials. World capitals vying to have the Olympics because the venue there, because of the financial prosperity it will bring them. This is the exploitation of the Greek wisdom. So it's important for us to know that we do not live in a world of wisdom. And if you find any wisdom today, it was stolen. and it was stolen to be sold and to be exploited. An old doctor once told me, this doctor was a genius. He had written books which became textbooks for universities. And he says, what's wrong with my students today? They're not interested in being doctors. He says, they want to be technicians. Is all they want to do is use their hands to cut and to give out medicine. He says, why don't they use their minds anymore? This is what he said, told me, this was 20, 30 years ago. Now, this gives us an idea of what the Greek Empire was. Where did this come from? Why were they like that? See, the Chazal tell us that this was a brocha from Noach. In Parshas Noach, after the Mabul, after the flood, it states, Vayuvenei Noach, this is in Bereishis Tes Posuk Yud Ches, Hayetzi min ha-teva Shem Chom v'Yofes. There were three sons that Noach had, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. Noach planted a vine, he drank wine, he became drunk, he fell asleep, and Chom, one of his sons, went and he shamed him and committed an avera with Noach. Vayikach Shem v'Yefes es asimlo, v'yasimah eschem shnehem. And Shem and Yefes took a cover, a garment, and they walked in backwards to cover their father in order that their father should not be shamed. And when Noach woke up and he realized what happened, so Chom he cursed. Shem and Yefes he blessed. And he gave Shem the greatest blessing and Yefes the next to the greatest blessing. Why? Rashi tells us, "Vayiku engsiv kam." It doesn't say they took; it says he took. Shame nisamit b'mitzvah Yefim Yesem Yefes. Shame was the one who started the mitzvah. He said, "Let us go cover our father," and Yefes followed. Shame was given the brocha of Shechina, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell by your descendants. From Shame came Avraham and Yitzchok and Yaakov. Yefes was given the bracha, Yafta lekim leYefes. Yefes shall have a bracha of beauty and physical greatness. V'yishkein bo leShem, and he can dwell in the tents of Shem. That's one of the droshes, the Gemara Darshis. He will have the privilege to dwell in the tents of Shem. A few psukim later, the Torah tells us that Yefes was the father of Yovan. And this brocha took effect in Yovan. The Gemara tells us that when they wanted to write the Sefer Torah in Greek, the Chachomim didn't know whether to allow it. And then the Chachomim darshened, this is in the Gemara in Megillah, the Gemara on Tesamet Beis, the Gemara darshened, yes, Yafte lekim leYefes v'yishkein bo leShem. Let Yefes become great and let him dwell in the tent of Shem. Dvorav shel Yefes yeh bo leShem. And therefore he shall dwell in the tents of Shem by allowing that the Sefer Torah should be written in his language. The Gemara says, and why Yovan? Yovan had many sons, because the language of Yovan was the most beautiful. Yafusai shel Yefes yeh bo leShem was the most beautiful of all of the languages. So we see that this blessing took effect in Yovan, the son of Yefes. This is the source of where they came to this greatness. Now we can ask the question, if they were so great, so then why did they come to fight with Israel? Why are they called darkness, that they darkened the eyes of Israel? The answer to this is that there's a great difference between the wisdom of the Greeks, of the nations of the world, and the wisdom of the Torah. The wisdom of the Greeks, this was part of Olam Hazeh, this was part of this world. The wisdom of the Torah is not from this world. The wisdom of the Greeks was kol, was secular. The wisdom of Torah is kodush, is sacred. One is called the Chochmah Tachteina, the other the Chochmah Elyena. One was called the wisdom of this world, and the other is called the wisdom of the upper worlds. An example, the sages tell us, Hareya Chochem Mechachmeo Umais. When you see a wise man from the nations of the world, this is a blessing. Wisdom is a blessing. And therefore you have to make a brocha. What is the brocha? Shenosan mechochmosai lebosavadom. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving from his wisdom to flesh and blood. However, hareya chachme haTorah, when you see the wise of the Torah, what bracha do you make? Shecholak mechochmosai lireov. Baruch ato Hashem elakeinu melech olam. Shecholak mechochmosai lireov. He who has imparted from his wisdom to those who fear him. We see two differences. Firstly, wisdom of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives only to those who fear him. Wisdom of the world, that he can give to anyone. Secondly, the wisdom of the world he gives. The wisdom of the Torah he imparts, because the wisdom of the Torah, Hashem Cholak, is part of he himself. This is the difference between the wisdom of the nations and the wisdom of Torah. And that's why the Medrash tells us in Eicha Rabbah, Beis Yud Gimel, on the Posuk, Malko v'soreho bagoyim, ein Torah. There is no Torah amongst the goyim, amongst the nations. Im eimaloch odom. If a person will tell you, yesh chochma bagoyim, there is wisdom amongst the nations, tamim, believe him. Because there is wisdom amongst the nations. Yesh Torah bagoyim. If he'll tell you there is Torah amongst the nations, al tamim, do not believe him. She'ein Torah bagoyim, there is no Torah by the goyim, only Israel. Now, the two are to work hand in hand. The wisdoms of this world are to assist in the wisdoms of the Torah. Just as we find by Shem and Yefes. Yefes and Shem together went, and Shem led, and Yefes followed, and they went and they fulfilled the mitzvah. They did a great mitzvah and they received the brocha forever for it. But instead of this, the Greeks decided differently. They were so envious. They knew what wisdom was, and they were so envious of Yisrael, and so envious of their sacredness, and so envious of their Torah and their wisdom, and they realized that they couldn't get it. They said, if that's the case, then we will destroy it. And therefore, instead of going and working together with Klal Yisrael, they went up against Klal Yisrael. And they said, Kisful Akeren Ashor, right on the horn of the bull that you have no portion in Hashem, they were referring to the golden calf. They said, no, the Torah is not yours. And that's why their main war was not to destroy Israel physically, but was to assimilate Israel. These were the days of the Hellenism. To take from them their Torah, to take from them their Kedusha. And this is why they didn't burn. We find they did not burn the Beis HaMikdash. States Timu Asahecho. They caused impurity to the Beis HaMikdash. And as we say in the Alanisim, Lashkichom et Heresecho La'aviro Michuk Eretzonecho, they were only interested in moving them from their Torah and causing their mitzvahs to be forgotten, not lahashmid ul harig ul abed, to physically destroy them. Their powers were very, very great, and they reached all the way to the Heichal. They were able to march all the way into the Heichal, into one of the inner chambers of the Beis Hamikdash, and to cause tuma, impurity to it. But the Maral explains, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, they could not enter. The most sanctified of the chambers, this they did not reach. Why is that? Because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Orem. Ve'ein v'orem rak luchei sabris. And in the Orem is only the Torah. And the Torah, this they could not rule over. This they could not touch. Because we have, the world was created in 6 days. Then there was the seventh day of Shabbos. Torah is the level of eight. We see that Torah was given after 7 weeks, after 49 days, the 50th day between Pesach and Shavuos, Torah was given. Torah is above all of this. Physical world is under the 6 days or under the seventh day. But Torah is higher than the physical world, because the world, physical world, comes from the Torah. States HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah, and from there he created the world. And therefore it's higher. And therefore, in the Heichal, they could go. And the Heichal has the menorah, in which there are 7 candles. There they could go. But the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there they could not. They were not capable. Who goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim? It states only the Kohen Gadol, not even the regular Kohanim, only the high priest. And he goes in only on Yom Kippur. And it states that the Kohen Gadol also is linked to the level of 8, because while all of the Kohanim wore 4 garments, he wore 8 garments. And the Gemara Darshins Vizais Yovei Aren Ala Kodesh Bishus Hamilo Shenit Bishmini. The schus of the Bris Mila that was given on the 8th day, that was a schus that he could go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. From here we can understand now some of the questions we asked. Even though they reached the Heichal and the miracle manifested itself in the menorah of the Heichal, that was not the source of the miracle. The source of the miracle came from beyond the Heichal, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the level of the Torah, is the level of the Kohen Gadol. And this is why that the miracle came about through the Kahanim, because they are the protectors of the sacredness of Klal Yisrael and the Torah, as it states, Sifsei Kain Yishmeru Das, Teira Yivakshu Mipiu. And they, the Kohen Gadol, the flask, was sealed by the Kohen Gadol. And if it came from that source, it was at that level that Klal Yisrael was supreme over the Yevonim. They, with all of their wisdom, they came to the highest levels of this world, but they could not go further. Klal Yisrael goes further than this world, and therefore the miracle came from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it manifested itself in the menorah of the Heichal. Therefore, it was done through the Kahanim, through the flask of oil that was sealed by the Kohen Gadol, and it lasted for 8 days, the miracle. And the menorah of the Hanukkah became an 8-candle menorah, even though the menorah of the Heichal is only a 7-candle menorah. Then we asked one other question. Why was the miracle, though, dafk in particular through fire, through light? And this, the answer is very deep. Everything which is elevated from the physical is a degree of light. If you look at the physical which is made from material, earth, or anything which is made physical, does not reflect or carry light. Because the chomer, the matter, is contrary to light. And this is why the deeper you go into the earth, the darker it will become. Because matter is contrary to light. The Medrash tells us that the plague of darkness which came on Mitzrayim to Egypt, according to one opinion, it came from Gehenna, where you have your thickest darkness. Therefore, everything that elevates itself from the earth, everything that separates itself from the earth, becomes purer, becomes clearer, and more light. That's why the higher you go, the more crystallized and the greater clarity is the light. Until you get to the highest force in the physical world, which is the sun, which is kula or, which is all light, and the source of all of our physical light. Now, there is a light which is even higher than that light. Because even though the sun is elevated from the earth and is very, very high, but it's still part of the physical world. When you go to the spiritual world and you come to the Torah, that is even a greater light. And as it states, Ki ner mitzvah v'Torah or, that a mitzvah is a candle and Torah is light. And not like we think, contrary to what we think, it is not the physical light that brings light into the world, but it is the spiritual light that gives force to the physical light. When there is spiritual light of the Torah, then the physical light is strong in the world. When there is not spiritual light of Torah, then the physical light is weak. Because it is from Torah that the world was created. Illustrations of this is the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabbah, Perek Gimel Os Dalet. The Medrash says, Reb Shimon Meitzorek Shol Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman. He says, Meheicha Nivra Sa'ora. Where was light created from in the world? You ask someone, where does light come from? He'll tell you the sun. But there's another question. Where does the light of the sun come from? So the Medrash says, that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu garbed himself in a garment, and that brought light into the world. Eta or kesalma. Then the Medrash tells us, Mimokam Beis HaMikdash Nivrasa Ora. From the Beis HaMikdash, the light came. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought light to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. From the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the light went to the physical lights of the world. As it says, Hinei Kfeida Lekei Yisrael Bo Miderech HaKodim. And Derech HaKodim is the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the place of the Mikdash, of this temple, and from there he brought his light, and from there the light went into the world. And that's why the Gemara tells us that Amay Nikro Oren, why is it called the Oren? Shekula Or, because it's all light. There's another medrash that states, but this is of the similar vein, Yushalayim Erishal Eilam Vakorish Bohu Erishu Yushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings light to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim brings light to the world. This is similar to what we're saying. Now, we find that when there is not Torah in the world, the lights can be extinguished. It states, Lokama Oris, eclipses, and darkness comes to the world, physical darkness. When there's Avera, when there's great transgressions, that's because the spiritual light is weakened. In the creation of the world, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, after he sinned, the original sun which he created, he took away. Originally that sun was so bright that gave light to the world during the day and the night. And after man's sin, which was Erev Shabbos, he said this light cannot carry on for him. He didn't want to take it away on Shabbos, so he took it away Meitzei Shabbos. Darkness came to the world the first time Saturday night. And Adam was afraid, and he went and he took some stones and made fire. Fire was first created then. This is why we make Abdullah on a candle on Meitzei Shabbos. And that sun, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Genis L'Tzadikim Loshin Lomayim. He's kept for the Tzadikim in the world to come, because then there will be a greater spiritual light, so there can be a greater physical light. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayi Or, let there be light, and the Medrash says, he had in mind Avraham Avinu. This was Avraham Avinu. Doesn't mean to say he had two things in mind. Let there be the light of the sun and let there be the light of Abraham. He said, let there be the light of the sun, and this can be only because of Abraham Avinu. Because Abraham will bring the light of Torah into the world that will feed light into the sun. And this is the same when we say the Birchas HaShachar, when we say Brochas in the morning, the Birchas HaKrishma, before Krishma. The first bracha is Yetzirah Me'oris. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for creating the sun, because that's the closest to us. And in the next bracha, we speak of the Or HaTorah, the Hore Einenu. We speak of the Or HaTorah, the light of Torah, which gives light to the sun. So therefore, when the Greeks came, and instead of bringing further light to the world or helping Klal Yisrael, they wanted to take the Torah from them. They wanted to be mevatel their mitzvahs, lahashkicho miteresecho, lahaviro mechukei ritzonecho. And they were not light, they were extinguishing light. They were extinguishing the light of Torah and ultimately the physical light in the world. So now the Chazal tells us very properly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and there was a prophecy that there would be emptiness and confusion and darkness. That darkness referred to the Greek Empire, because they would darken the eyes of Israel with the decrees. Instead of light, they brought darkness to the world. When the Hashmonaim came and they destroyed the Greek Empire, they drove them out, and they returned Israel to mitzvahs, and they returned, they had made decrees you weren't allowed to teach Torah, and they brought back all of the schools and the yeshivas of Torah. So they brought the spiritual light of Torah back to the world. Once they did that, then there had to be a manifestation of physical light. And this is why when they removed the cheshuch, the darkness of the Greek Empire, and they brought the Or HaTorah, the light of Torah, back into the world, then from the Kodesh HaKadoshim came this force of light, And a miracle took place where there was a manifestation of light in the Heichel, in the menorah of the Heichel. The Gemara concludes by saying, Uleshona Acheres, the next year, Kvo'um, the next year they established that this should be kept every year. Every year we should light the 8 candles for 8 days because of this miracle. Why? Because every year during Hanukkah, the spiritual light of Torah strengthens itself. Because it was on that day when it was challenged to be extinguished that the Hashmonaim destroyed the Greeks and brought the study and the fulfillment of Torah back into the world. So on that day every year, during those days every year, there is the strengthening and the reinforcement of light, spiritual light in the world. And therefore it has to manifest itself through the physical light. Therefore they established that every year we should again light the Ner Hanukkah, the Nerus of Hanukkah. So this is an explanation in what took place on Hanukkah, why the miracle was through the Kahanim, and the flask of oil was sealed by the Kohen Gadol, the great priest, and why it extended itself for 8 days, and why the miracle was through light. We should be zeicher to see the light of Torah conquer the darkness of alien forces against it, which rise up against it in every generation, where the light of Torah will come to the world and bring us great spiritual light, great physical light, and Geulas v'Yeshuas.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.